Hello everyone, welcome to Siaklima Podcast with Talk. It's Nico here. I'm so excited to be here today because I'm hosting Deer Growth and Human Ecology Solidarity Podcast as well. On this episode, you're going to hear me talking to Simone and Kat, and Simone's husband is going to be also chipping in as we go. He's a guest. But I think this question is going to all of us, those who've done the course. For example, how did you go? How did you feel? And how are you feeling right now afterwards the course? And the question is, what do degrowth and human ecology means to you?
It means, for me, being real, I think, getting real, because the economy we have is not based in reality. It's not based in the laws of physics. And I have struggled to really put my finger on that. I knew it somehow, but I couldn't articulate it. And now I feel I can articulate that the economy we have is not rational, it's not real, it's not based in reality, the laws of nature. And this for me is about actually gripping that properly and facing it, which our culture seems to struggle to do, and we struggle to face a lot of things in our culture, and that for me is.
For me, degrowth and human ecology, I did not know much really what it means, but as I said, I came to the group to learn as well, and we see things different as well, as like Kate was saying. You can see it on the economic side, I can see on the nature side, we can see, yeah, I think you're right, Kate, economic is really bad, the whole world is just suffering right now. For me, degrowth and human ecology, to me, I think it means a community. Like we've been a group working together as a community on this course. And that's the first thing I've seen on degrowth and human ecology, especially. For the podcast, I think the purpose is to catch up with those who missed the course and those who are going to do the course, and us as well, feeding up each other and learning as we go. So, yeah.
Awesome.
So what... What does degrowth and human ecology mean to me? Well, actually, I think Kate actually summed it up pretty perfectly about this idea of reconciling the fantasy with the reality, the fantasies we've constructed with the reality. I did a talk as part of the session today, and the sentence that I said was sort of this sort of set, like reconciling ourselves from the world we live in, that we sort of resource from elsewhere, and like that, well, sorry, the world we sort of live from. I actually, no, just scrap that bit. I'll have to read it because I've forgotten whether it's the world we live in or the world we live from. But it's just essentially we have this fantasy that we create, that we resource from another ghostly world that we're not connected to, and we're abusing all the resources of that world, but we are completely dependent on it. And it's about how do we reconcile that, and how do we find new ways of living through that. And I think, and that's something that's a very practical thing, but it's also something that's a psychological and experiential and a very physical thing. It's like a whole body experience. So, yeah, it's changing to a whole new way of seeing and being in the world, I think. My husband just came for today. Has he got an impression on what degrowth is based on what you've seen today so far?
Yeah, you can share with us. You can share with us. Why not?
Well, from what you guys are saying, it's like the Matrix and you've taken the blue pill.
That's good. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, man. It's cool. I think the next question is simple. Like, what are you gonna do after this? How do you take this? How do you apply it to your work or to your community? For example, I'm going to use some of the skills I learned from the course in some projects, and especially here on the podcast. I do lots of podcasting now, And I think listening is the most powerful tool I learned from there, especially when we had some different people come to talk to us, because and lectures, imagine we had like some activities for 1 hour. That's a good lesson for me, 1 hour not talking, listening. I like that. And the other thing, I think I'm going to use the podcast to teach other refugees and asylum seekers to know how to produce their own podcast so their voices can be heard in their own spirit, in their own time. I think that's my move forward after the course.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So I don't know about you.
I think I will take more confidence in how, because like I said before, I had this intuitive feeling that something really major was not right, but I felt like I was always told, oh, it's just because you don't understand, you're unrealistic, you're too sensitive, you don't understand the way the world works, you don't understand economics. And I am now like, yes, I do. I do understand. It's you that doesn't understand. And I feel a lot more like able to defend these things, and I'm much more confident that actually that I was grasping, yeah. I was just glimpsing something that I now feel I can really grasp. The other thing, I mean, there's so many things I love from this course, that idea of the carrying stream that each generation kind of has work to do, and then you take it on, and that helps me get out of a more sort of perfectionistic way of thinking. It's like, you know what, they took it so far, we can learn some things from that, leave some things, take it forward. So that's very beautiful. The idea of indigeneity being a verb, and I think therefore like belonging being a verb, for me is such a beautiful way that Mari put it, that I just thought she scragged it. That's it. That's what it is. Yeah. It's a verb. It's a doing. And that's the other thing that I really think, the head, heart, hands, because I will get in my head and I'll stay there.
Yeah.
And I don't, and maybe my heart a bit, but I find it very hard to do the action, act on that with the hands. And that's the bit that I will really try and take forward. Yeah.
For me, like, I'm going to add up, I think I enjoyed Mr. McIntosh stories and stuff, because I repeat this, when I walked in the room, there was a picture of Robert Mugabe. Yes. I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Because not negative, I just don't like the person. But,
no.
You know, so, yeah, it was nice. The way he conducted the stories and stuff, bring religion and stuff, I was like, I was really impressed when they last me, remember when I was passing the mic to everyone to speak and sharing about our spiritual experiences in life, which was really some sad stories, but I think my journey will be like actually get more to the spiritual practice, like meditation, yoga and stuff, which is in Africa, a black man say yoga, they're like, what's wrong with this guy? what is he doing yoga for? You know, but they forget the world is shifting, right?
Yeah.
That's why the climate change comes in as well. So we're shifting, and our spiritual shifting as well. It's no longer like I have to go to the forest and dig plants like my grandmother. She knew everything, how to put things together. Now I can kill myself if I get all those plants together with that knowledge and stuff. So yeah, this for me, I think, was a lot said in that course as well. But spiritual, I think, is for me, I can see the world is waking up very fast. Mm-hmm. And degrowth for me, like it touched that a lot of it and stuff. As I said, I had a good energy with you guys, so it was good. So I don't know what, Simone, what are you going to put in practice at your work or comment? What I think you taught us a lot, actually. You don't need to take anything.
No, I learned more than, I don't think I taught many people, I mean, anything, actually. I learned a lot. I think what I've learned is, that we have created really awful, divisive, individualistic sort of protective boundaries and echo chambers. And I think actually a lot of stuff that have been designed to support us, to try and help us understand one another, sometimes actually in practice just divide and divide and divide. And what was so inspiring, particularly about the residential element, was the peer-to-peer learning and the fact that you have people of different generations, different cultural backgrounds. I actually think quite a wide variety of different political beliefs, actually, even though I think probably attracts people who traditionally understand themselves as perhaps left wing, mm-hmm. but actually amongst the left wing, it's a very wide group. And I think I actually think it could be even rich with even more diversity. Everything always can be, you know. But actually, the fact that people came to the space with a sense of openness and with no judgments, and the learning that I learned was not. You know, it was just really, excuse my French, but really weird shit, like, that I learned from, like Amy just telling me, well, that's boring. She was like, I don't know much about plants. I was like, she goes, there you go, if you need that for this, it will heal you here. And I was like, how do you know that? She goes, it is my field, Simone. I was like, oh my God, I've just got this amazing resource of people at my fingertips. And when I was young, I was very dyslexic, and I could barely write anything, and I struggled a lot at school. So for me, like, my whole life has been a journey of finding really interesting people who are have different ways of thinking about the world, and just sort of like sticking to them like glue and learning from them as much as I can, because I really struggle to put that stuff together. And it was just, I learned the generosity from people in their sharing was so great, and so the learning was so rich if you were open to it. And so for me, what I learned wasn't so much, goes back to the really beautiful bit of learning I've just learned from Kate, which is like, it's not so much actually what to do. We need the intellectual frameworks to know the size of the problem, but actually it's the fact that that's combined with the how to do it. It ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it, as Bananarama says. And that process of people applying that in practical ways in their own lives was just really amazing. And I just think these things need to be funded and rolled out in more context. But I realised that the only reason why this group had the special connection it did, it was partly because it was very cleverly and very carefully cared for and framed by very committed organisers who really knew how to create that open space. And that's actually a lot easier said than done. Mm. So I think it was ambitious, but they got the right amount of intellectualism and balanced that with practicality, showing things working, offerings. And I realised actually it's a process of just letting go. We kind of formalise things too much, and it's like your thing about perfectionism. It's like everything has to be like to a certain standard, when actually we learn more sometimes in just letting go and letting things unravel. And if you've got trust there and it's a mess, it doesn't matter, because you're all there to learn. It's not about your ego. And I think that's the biggest thing that I thought I will take away with me. I'm permitted to be as messy as I like.
that's powerful.
Yeah, really. And the resilience in that.
Yeah.
I remember you said to the organizer at the Ridge, because she'd had a plan, and then that partially came through, and then other things happened, and then it went in a bit of a, you know, different, they had an opportunity there and a block there, and she really flowed toward the, I think you said you flowed where the energy is or something that, and
followed the energy,
and the resilience of that, of like, yeah, there's a plan, but we're not also not going to be completely stymied by rigidly sticking to that plan. We're going to take opportunities, take knocks, keep going. There's such a longevity in that, a resilience that there isn't if it's too fixed.
I forgot I said that. Thank you.
That's good. We're going to come to the last one. It's about, tell me more about your journey from here to the future to come. For me, I think, I said it already, things I'm going to do, what I'm doing. Like now, I didn't tell you this, I'm involved in COP28. I know it's scary. Online, so what we do with my friends, people I know, like they're directors of me. I'm hosting it, so it's kind of like a game show. Like so, we get on together. Say, bring any products you don't want to see in this planet, or any product you want to keep. Right, so I brought the vape. I don't want to see that.
Yeah,
because they're really bad. They're everywhere on the streets, and you know, I mean, environmental horrible, right? And so everyone just bring, imagine us don't bring in, what's your products you don't want to see in the world?
Anton, what do you want?
What product, the product you don't want to see in this planet? When you look at it, the climate change-wise.
Well, probably plastics, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's quite wide-ranging, but it's just in so much stuff that we have, you know, and it doesn't biodegrade, and it stays around for a very, very long time.
Yes.
So it'd be nice to really get rid of that and replace it with better.
Yeah, I think the plastic, I totally agree. Like, sometimes I feel guilty when I go in the shop, I have to pay 30 pence for it.
Yeah.
It's like a buy double problem.
Yeah.
Like, what I'm doing? You know, I'm like, oh, just take my backpack, go in the shop, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's, but this one, that we can all chip in. Like, so yeah, I'm going to carry on. Climate change finishing on Tuesday, so we're recording the last episode. So we pre-record our stuff. So every 7 p.m., I'll share it, maybe we'll show it to the people. Mm-hmm. They join live on Facebook or something. People comment, whatever. But it's fun, though, because like yesterday, there were so many products came. Someone just showed on the screen that was a guy had a tag on the sandals. That's called, it's kind of like a metal detector.
Oh, yeah.
You know, instead of having that ding, so he's got it in his sandals. So he just walked and got a ding tucked on his leg. He's got lights covered.
Good.
Do we really need that?
No. Feels so, like imprisonment, that.
So that's my journeys about actually explore more things, like learning more and get to the groups. Like, I hope we stay friends in groups. We can actually have shared projects and stuff like that. I'm planning to maybe try and get a funding for the podcast, because I think this podcast has actually made me a different person. I learn how to talk to people. I learn how to create topics and editing and stuff, but I don't have enough money to run it, because most of the stuff is online. I have to pay for subscriptions, blah, blah. So like, I'm trying to see how I'm going to get it going next year. So that's my journey. I would like to keep this room, actually, and then people coming to my house for interviews. Yeah, I think it's more welcoming than going to someone's house, you know. So I'll work that out. So that would be a studio. So I don't know, what's your journey from here? Okay.
So I think I often struggle to settle to things, and I feel more determined and capable to do that after this. So I work a little bit for a project called Lauriston Agroecology Farm in Edinburgh, and I'm going to be doing a few more hours for them starting in the new year, and I feel really good about that. And that my role is the newsletter and the social media and the website, and it is telling stories about the farm, and I feel more and more passionate about that. And I also slightly recklessly off because of this course, put my hand up to volunteer to help the Edinburgh Retrofit Collective with local group organising for my neighbourhood.
Nice.
So I've said yes to that. I don't really know what that entails. So I'm hoping that, we also take this community with us, because it does feel like this incredible group of people to be able to consult with, you know, check things with, ask questions. Like you say, it's so generous and such a rich mix of knowledge and skills. So I'm hoping I take that to lean on.
You will.
Well, that's really good, guys. I don't know if someone before Kios want to say something or...
I'm really glad that I'm not going to focus too much in my plans for the future, because I'm going to be honest with you about the stark realities. I work in the arts. There's not much of a future for it at the moment. Like, it's being choked and it's dying. And I know that there will come a moment where there'll be an opportunity for me to take a lot of the learning from degrowth, but also from my own research, and translate it into something brilliant. I know, but at the moment, funded arts is not getting the support it needs, and artists aren't being paid. And I think, you know, you only need to look at the film industry and the strikes and everything. And all I know is that, like, this, like, the arts are, I think, integral to how we think through the change. And I'm fed up of people in suits separating it as if it's some sort of luxury that's on the side. My husband, who's with me here, he works in the NHS. You work as in hospitals, and you help to save people's lives. And we have this joke where I'm like, well, you might save people's life, but in the arts we give people's life meaning, and that's just as important. So for me, what I want to take forward is just learning, as much learning as possible, and trying to be super, super hyper flexible about this new future that we have. But I'm just not gonna bend and compromise my values to fit round a growth economy agenda in the arts anymore. So I think the next year I'm going to become an activist, I think, if I'm not one already. But I'm going to come out of the activist closet.
I think you are already. This is once you do decrof,
you're going to get the badge. Yeah.
You're already a part of that.
But yeah, anyway, I think that's true. Yeah.
I think this was the best chat together, guys. Thank you so much for coming to the podcast. It's really nice. I can just say, what do you think are important of this podcast for today? For you guys to come here, I think our voices to be heard and raise awareness. And I think, as I said earlier on, it's about the people miss the course so they can hear what we did.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.